理课堂听 class.com
Chapter 51 Emma had been upset with Frank Churchill's behavior. But after reading his emotional letter, particularly where she herself was mentioned, Emma had to forgive him. She decided that Mr. Knightley must read the letter as well.
I shall be very glad to look it over, said he.
When he read the part about Miss Woodhouse, he read it out loud, smiling with contentment.
He played a dangerous game with your heart. How could he think you knew his secret?
Mr. Knightley made several remarks as he read through the letter. After he finished reading, he spoke again.
It is true that he's made many mistakes. I do agree that he is happier than he deserves, but he is quite in love with Miss Fairfax. And now, I must speak to you about something else.
He then began speaking to her about how they could marry without breaking her father's heart. She immediately told him that while her dear father was alive, she could never leave him. Mr. Knightley knew this was true. He had been thinking of what to do all day. At first, he thought Mr. Woodhouse would agree to move to his comfortable home, but he realized that Mr. Woodhouse could not bear to leave his home. Mr. Woodhouse could only be content at Hartfield, and so Mr. Knightley decided he could be content at Hartfield as well. Emma had, as well, been thinking of the possibility of moving to Mr. Knightley's home, but realized it was impossible. She had not thought of his suggestion of his moving to Hartfield. She felt that, in leaving his home, he was giving up a great deal, and that with no home of his own, Mr. Woodhouse, with his odd behavior, would greatly upset Mr. Knightley. However, he told her that he had already decided. He had thought about it with calm consideration. She promised to think of it. The more Emma thought of Mr. Knightley's moving to Hartfield, the more pleasing it became. She was almost in perfect happiness until she thought of poor Harriet. In time, Harriet would forget Mr. Knightley, but it would be difficult. Mr. Knightley, always a caring gentleman, would be difficult to forget. Chapter 52 Emma was relieved to find that Harriet, as well, wanted to avoid meeting. In her letter, Harriet did not seem upset with Emma. She was polite and civil, although Emma suspected Harriet somewhat resented her. Harriet had been having tooth problems and had wished to see a dentist. Emma thought Harriet should go for a visit to London to see a dentist and stay with the Knightleys. Isabella was delighted. Harriet was to go for at least 2 weeks. Now Emma could, indeed, enjoy Mr. Knightley's visits in true happiness. She soon decided that she should visit Miss Fairfax. She wished to speak to her. Emma went and was invited in immediately. Jane eagerly greeted her. Emma had never seen her look so well and so beautiful. Emma was pleased. She soon noticed Mrs. Elton sitting with Mrs. Bates. Mrs. Elton came forward to greet Emma and was quite friendly. Emma soon understood Mrs. Elton's reason for such friendly behavior. Mrs. Elton believed only she knew Miss Fairfax's secret news. "Do not you think, Miss Woodhouse, our friend has recovered quite well? Mr. Perry is an incredible doctor." Then looked at Jane with a smile. Mrs. Elton made such comments often throughout Emma's visit, often looking at Jane with a secret look of meaning. "I haven't seen you, Miss Woodhouse, since Box Hill. Some members of our group seemed quite upset during the visit. However, we shall all go again very soon. We shall go with the same group as before." Emma felt that she should return home immediately. Mr. Knightley was probably there waiting for her. She was pleased to find Miss Fairfax walk with her out of the room. As they left the room, Emma spoke. "I wanted to speak to you about something, but there were many people in the room, so I did not want to discuss it then." "Oh," cried Jane, "they know about the engagement. Miss Woodhouse, I apologize for my cold behavior. You are very kind." "Say no more. I feel I should apologize to you. Let us forgive each other." Chapter 53. Mrs. Weston's friends were happy to know she was in good health and would soon have a little girl. She had wished for a Miss Weston.
"She will indulge her even more than she did you,"
Mr. Knightley told Emma. "Poor child," cried Emma. "What will become of her?"
"Nothing very bad. She will be disagreeable as a child, and will later become a loving, intelligent woman. My dearest Emma, who was a spoiled child, is now my happiness. I have been in love with you ever since you were 13.
"I am sure you did me good."
"Mr. Knightley? You always called me Mr. Knightley, so formal. I want you to call me something else, but I do not know what."
"I remember once calling you George, but you did not get angry, so I never did it again."
"Cannot you call me George now?"
"Impossible. I can never call you anything but Mr. Knightley. I will call you by your first name once. Can you guess where? In the building where N takes M for better and for worse." Emma worried about how to tell her father about the engagement. She decided she must announce it soon and would speak with joyful words. Her father would agree, and she and Mr. Knightley would be married, and Mr. Knightley would soon move to Hartfield, a man Mr. Woodhouse loved dearly. Poor man! At first, Mr. Woodhouse was shocked and tried to persuade her not to marry. He reminded her that she had always assured her father she would never marry. She told her father that she would remain in Hartfield and there would be little change. Mr. Woodhouse was never fond of change, however. After some time, Mr. Woodhouse agreed to the marriage, although he worried about how their lives would change. Chapter 54. A few days later, Mr. Knightley arrived at Hartfield, looking quite upset.
"I have something to tell you, Emma, some news."
"Good or bad?" she asked quickly.
"I am afraid, dear Emma, you will not like to hear it."
He paused.
"Harriet Smith marries Robert Martin."
Emma was shocked. "No, this is impossible."
"It is so, indeed,"
continued Mr. Knightley.
"I heard it from Robert Martin himself."
Emma could not speak.
"You do not like it, but in time perhaps your opinion will change. We will not speak of this subject."
"You mistake me. You quite mistake me," she replied. "I am not unhappy, but I cannot believe it. I cannot believe he proposed marriage to her again. And she accepted," then paused. "Well," she exclaimed, "tell me everything."
"It is a very simple story. He went to London for business 3 days ago, and I had him send some papers to my brother. He delivered the papers and was asked to have dinner with the family. While at the Knightleys, he spoke to Harriet. She accepted his proposal and he has never been happier.
He stopped. Her silence disturbed him.
Emma, my love, he has made your friend Harriet quite happy. Perhaps you will think better of him with time.
She could not speak, or he would know how delighted she felt after hearing the news. After a short silence, she spoke. I have been silent from surprise. This has happened so suddenly.
Are you quite sure she accepted his offer? Did not you misunderstand him? You were both talking of other things, of business and his trip. Perhaps you did not understand his meaning.
Do you think I do not know what a man is talking of? I am quite sure that he told me she had accepted him.
I am perfectly satisfied, Emma replied, and wish them happiness.
Your opinion has changed since we last discussed this subject.
I hope so. I was a fool then.
And I am changed also. I now believe Harriet to be a thoughtful, kind young woman, and think Mr. Martin will be quite happy.
Their conversation soon ended, and she was alone. She wanted to be alone. Her mind was dancing and singing. She laughed and could not be happier after hearing the news. She had to laugh after Harriet's poor luck with other men. Such a heart, such a Harriet. Now Emma would be excited for her return. Everything would be pleasure in her returning. It would be a great pleasure to know Robert Martin. That evening, she and her father went to the Westons for a visit. Mrs. Weston had been surprised by Emma's news, but thought Mr. Knightley would make a perfect husband for her dearest Emma. Frank Churchill and Jane Fairfax were to join them as well. Emma was extremely glad to see Frank Churchill, although the two were a bit embarrassed to see each other. Soon enough, Frank Churchill turned to Emma to speak.
I have to thank you, Miss Woodhouse, for a very kind, forgiving message in one of Mrs. Weston's letters. I hope you have still forgiven me.
Of course, cried Emma. I am glad to see you and congratulate you. He thanked her and continued to speak.
Is not she looking well?
Said he, turning his head towards Jane.
Better than before.
Soon he spoke of the Campbells and the Dixons. Emma was embarrassed when she heard that name. I feel so ashamed.
The shame,
he answered,
is all mine. You had no suspicion of a secret relationship between Jane and Mr. Dixon?
Never did I have a suspicion.
That is wonderful to hear. Now, I know it would have been better to have told you the secret.
It is not worth a regret, said Emma.
I have hoped that my uncle will visit Highbury soon. He wants to meet Jane. When the Campbells return, we shall meet them in London. Till this morning, we have not met since the secret was known to everyone.
After a pause, he began,
I hope Mr. Knightley is well. I was delighted to hear the news of your engagement.
Emma was pleased to hear him speak about Mr. Knightley, but he soon began to speak of Jane again.
How smooth her skin is! So delicate and fair. Her dark eyes and hair so unusual, but so beautiful.
Emma was delighted to see Frank Churchill that evening, and now thought of him as a good friend. Chapter 55 Harriet soon returned from London with the Knightleys. She was, at first, anxious and embarrassed. After she and Emma spoke for some time, she no longer felt foolish. and was excited to tell Emma the details of Mr. Martin's proposal. She told Emma that she had always been in love with Robert Martin. Soon it became known that Harriet's father was a tradesman, rich enough to afford his daughter a comfortable life. Emma knew Harriet was of high society. Emma had no doubt of Harriet's happiness. Harriet immediately began making wedding arrangements and much less often visited Hartfield. Within the next 3 months, by the end of September, Emma attended Harriet's wedding. Mr. Elton was present to marry the happy couple. Harriet was very much in love with Robert Martin and had forgotten about Mr. Elton completely. At the wedding, Mr. Elton was simply the clergyman. Jane Fairfax had already left Highbury and was again with the Campbells. She and Frank Churchill would wait till November to marry. Emma and Mr. Knightley decided they must marry while John and Isabella were still in Highbury. However, Mr. Woodhouse became quite upset when the wedding was spoken of. After some time, he did accept the idea, and soon, the wedding date was decided. Emma Woodhouse married George Knightley 1 month after Harriet's wedding. The wedding was quite ordinary, and Mrs. Elton thought her wedding was far better. Yet, the dear friends of Emma and Mr. Knightley wished them happiness.